Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the very final Clash of the Titles. Yes, after almost 5 years and nearly 500 shows, we're very sadly ending the podcast. But we're going out with the biggest bang imaginable, as on Monday we climbed Dante's Peak, meaning today we're diving into Tommy Lee Jones' volcano.
I would like to underline that these are just precautionary measures. We don't want to start a panic.
Did anybody feel that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please remain calm. Please just stay calm.
I felt that.
Just stay calm. Please remain calm. Don't push. Please stay calm.
Mitch, I don't know how to describe this, but the tarpas themselves are on fire, and they're right now spilling out onto Wilshire Boulevard. It's coming right up out of the ground itself. It's as if the tar caught fire, melted, and somehow expanded. The downed fire truck is still on its side. Injured firefighters desperately in need of medical help. Rescue personnel are starting to arrive. I know this sounds crazy, but it almost looks like lava, volcanic lava pouring onto the street.
So buckle up, as for the very last time, it's Clash of the Titles.
Release the Kraken.
Hello, Clash Podders. I'm Chris Tilley.
I'm Vicky Crompton.
No, Alex.
No.
He said his goodbyes last week.
He did.
Feels weird doing it without him, though.
Yeah.
We did a lot with him.
We've done, yeah, it's just been mammoth.
Charlie reckoned nearly 850 films.
God, is that right?
So I'm gutted. We could have hit 5 years, 500 shows, 1,000 films.
You know what terrifies me is I look at the list on your Google Doc.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's why I kept the list.
Yeah.
That's why I kept the list.
And it's massive.
At the beginning, it seemed like a pointless thing to do.
It's a bit churlish, yeah.
But it's useful.
It's really useful. And yeah. I scroll through and I think, have I seen those films? And if someone said, oh, you know, thingy in the thing, I'd be like, no, I haven't seen it. And then it's like, not only have I seen it, I've probably seen it twice. And I've talked about it for an hour.
I literally don't know what you're talking about. I remember doing every one of those.
I know
those
you've got such a good memory for things like that. My memory just doesn't... I think I've got a good memory, but it's obviously bollocks. I don't remember... I remember us being in the room and certain things. But if you catch me off guard and you say, oh, God, who directed Thingy? I'd be like, don't know.
So say if someone said to you, what was the name of that movie where Mr. T played a philosophizing bouncer? Would you be able to come up with it?
Is it the toughest guy in the world?
Yeah, really close.
Yeah.
And then
is that not even right?
Toughest man in the world.
Oh, right.
And then how does he win the toughest man in the world contest?
He runs through a wall. I remember
What's
that.
What's the wall made of?
Concrete.
Bricks.
he
bashes through a brick wall in slow motion.
What Why? Films are you sad that we didn't get to?
A lot.
Is there really?
It's weirding me out, yeah.
What's your most sad one?
I think Donnie Darko is the one I'm saddest we didn't
but
do.
But it was so hard to find the...
I know, but well, it's fine. We would have figured it out.
Yeah.
Back to the Future, I think we were going to do the trilogy.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters would have been good. Lots of horror films. Dazed and Confused, I mentioned on Monday. That's way up there. Some Shane Meadows. Yeah. I can't even think about it. I'm going to get upset. Yeah. And I feel like the rest of my life, I'll be thinking, oh, we didn't get around to that one.
I think you will be thinking that, yeah. Where are you going to put that energy? You'll have to do something else with it. You could write a book.
It is weird, though, when I see the name of a film or already, since I've known that we're ending this, it's... I'm thinking, oh, what would that pair with? And it's like,
you've always been the brains, haven't you? Like, you think of all the things.
Overthink, some would say.
I mean, yeah, maybe, but that's part for the course. When
maybe
you're the
I'll
person,
get a life now.
When you do the thinking, you may occasionally overthink. Whereas I'm like, I like this film. Chris, what goes with this film?
And to be fair, a lot of our listeners do say that it's kind of ruined their film watching because they're always thinking either, what would this clash well with?
Yeah.
Or they're thinking... of the categories at the end.
I'm concerned that I won't be able to watch a film without thinking, I'll be like, where's my pen? Where's my thing? I'd like, and it's just fucking watch it and don't worry about it.
See, I won't miss that, but I still review films and so I still have to sit through movies with a pad and paper and it's just super annoying.
Yeah, it is a little bit because you want to get into it and get involved.
Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like I have to, even when I'm reading film, I have to because I don't want to think of something I want to write and then spend the rest of the film trying to remember it when I should be concentrating.
Oh, no, you've got a zinger. You've got something fantastic on the boil.
And you know me, wall-to-wall zingers.
Full of them. Non-stop. An hour of them.
So,
well, Mark Parsons, for his part, is quite pleased, which is cruel, but he's just being his... Because I watched them in reverse order, so I put Dante's Peak on and I was like, listen, it's the last one. Are you sad? And he was just like... No. And he said, well, we can watch something good now. And I was like, we can't watch anything good because everything you like, I think, is boring. And everything I like has been on the podcast. So it's all done. We'll never watch a film again.
Actually, there's lots of great films I've wanted to introduce Georgina to that I haven't because I've been waiting for us to do them on the podcast.
Yeah.
And now I don't have to worry about that.
You can just, crack through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life's going to change.
Yes.
Dramatically. But not until we've talked about this movie.
All right, so yeah, I'm stalling. Okay.
So on Monday, I did Dante's Peak.
And I'll do Volcano.
So yeah, Vicky, take us on a volcanic journey.
When is a volcano not a volcano? When it's called literally anything else by the residents of LA, a ball of fire, a fireball, an expanded tar pit, steam, gas, or... when it's a handy metaphor for racial tension engendered by police brutality. And this despite the movie being called Volcano and opening with a shot of lava. Anyway, TLJ works for OEM and his main responsibility is to dismiss anything seismologist / geologist / who knows, he certainly doesn't, Anne Hesh says. Although she does answer every question that isn't already a widely known fact, i.e. what's magma, with, I don't know. So apart from getting her friend killed by sneaking off pre-dawn to investigate what her friend has already basically said is a volcano, what use is she? But she's not half as meddlesome as Kelly, who has one job in all of this, to sass her dad and serve the metaphor for how busy Angelinos are. So two jobs, which she can't even manage because she's busy wandering into a bomb site. And so TLJ has to outrun lava and gravity in this film to save her. Phew. Point being, TLJ is a good dad, and I think he's in there with Anne Hesh, but mercifully the film pulls back on that. A doctor reassesses her relationship with her callous boyfriend in one storyline that is massively set up and then basically abandoned. And racism is totally fixed. Thanks, Volcano. I mean, ball of fire, fireball, expanded tar pit, steam, gas.
What the hell? great job. But yes, what the hell
so
is
I've,
this
yeah, I've
movie?
Seen it once and I don't remember much about it, but I remember liking it. So I was quite pleased to be watching this again.
Yeah, I mean, I was pleased to be... I couldn't remember anything either from watching it. As I said on Monday, I've got no memory of watching these, just know I did watch them.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you think about that premise, I was more excited about rewatching this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, that
it's
is a
just
funny...
crackers, yeah.
And obviously, one of the great taglines.
Oh my God, that is... It's just... It deserves a place... in the canon. Like, what
you've
got
to say it.
Oh, it's the coast is toast.
The coast
God,
is toast.
God, that is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous. You don't need much else, to be honest.
Well, maybe call the film that.
Oh, it's lengthy though, isn't it?
No, it's not.
The coast is toast.
That's not lengthy.
I just think it's brilliant. What, just like one final, I'm not pitching for a job. Shout out to marketing. Great job, guys.
Yes.
The coast is toast is phenomenal.
Yes. Best thing about the film.
Yeah.
So yeah, and it didn't disappoint actually.
No, it just does. It's just a very joyous thing to watch, really, weirdly.
Yeah. And there's some weirdness in it that I liked. And as you say, there's stuff I'm going to get pretty angry about as we go through it.
Well, I'll tell you a very small bit about it. Full disclosure, I didn't do the twin movie thing because I thought you would. So what I've got is quite a few facts about Lava. That's kind of it. So it was written by Jerome Armstrong and Billy Ray, but directed by Mick Jackson of The Bodyguard.
Yes.
Hi, Mick. Thank you. Thank you once again.
And Threads.
Yeah, now, we talked about Threads.
I've been too frightened. I've never watched it.
But did Alex see it and he was terrified by it?
Yeah, I think so. I think everyone's frightened by Threads.
Yes, I can't remember. I feel like I was shown it at school or something weird. Maybe, do you know what? I'm probably mixing up my stories. Anyway, so we'll talk about the lava. This is one thing I actually do remember from the film, is that everyone is covered in paper the whole time. And they must have been like artfully wiping it from Anne Hesh's forehead because you can't look too covered in paper and stuff like that. The lava itself was like something that they would call like milkshake goop. That's used on the miniatures. And then you have digitally created lava. I think the lava is really brilliant. It's the work of Matt Beck of Light Matters. So, but the only reason the twin thing matters here is that I read that, obviously, as you said, both films are due out around the same time. But once Volcano was kind of out of the race, they had a bit more time to work on the lava. So that's one good thing that came out of it.
Right.
So my only other thing was about whether or not it could happen. Because sure. There's stuff in the film where Tommy Lee Jones is like, what's an earthquake? Which is ridiculous given where he lives. But then Anne Hesh very reasonably is like, well, wherever there's earthquakes, you know, you could have a volcano, kind of. And so, you know, there's the San Andreas Fault. That's the largest fault line in the contiguous United States. That runs through California. So maybe. However, they do have a scientific advisor on the film that's like, absolutely not. It wouldn't happen for at least a few million years. So it plays fast and loose.
Yeah.
But I think that's absolutely fine. I don't think it's pretending to do.
No. Yeah.
Characters are the boss of a department that should know everything about this. They know absolutely fuck all. It doesn't matter.
It's a what-if movie.
Yeah. Now, the thing you were talking about, the box office, I read it cost 19. It made 123.
The Wikipedia number.
Yeah. What's the real number then?
No. I mean, that's all we've got to go on. Okay. So I'm sure that's right.
I mean, I think, yeah, you've got to be annoyed because you've got massive star power in Tommy Lee Jones at that time.
Yeah, ish. I guess the question was, can he open a movie on his own?
Yeah.
Or does he need Harrison Ford opposite him or what have you? Yeah. It's like trying to establish him, you know, Oscar winner, amazing actor.
Just on the action.
Can he lead a movie himself? And yeah, it might have made 122 for 90 million, but that's always without, you know, press and publicity and marketing.
It is.
Which means your film loses.
Which means the person that came up with the cost is toast is not even in that figure. So I guess if they came up with that on the first day. Yeah.
Then they didn't pay them that much, so maybe that helped.
It was probably a runner or so. Yeah, anyway, it's fantastic. So that's it. That is all I want to say
fine.
On that.
It's fine. There's not huge stories behind the making of these movies.
No, which is fitting, really. It'd be weird if there was. So LA wakes up, and it is so LA in LA right now. But under the very ground, the Angelinos walk on danger, lava, definitely a fucking volcano.
Strong opening. It's building anticipation.
Well, it gives the volcano, I can't believe I'm going to say this, a character. Because it is coming for you.
I can't believe you
said
that.
Rumble, rumble, rumble.
It's all exciting, apart from the chat about building a rail extension.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really go anywhere.
No. So Tommy Lee Jones is in charge of the Office for Emergency Management. Don't know how.
Very exciting.
Doesn't seem to be the best at his job. Don Cheadle seems to be better at his job.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, doesn't seem to be very interested in...
Barely there.
Science, nature,
no, any of it.
He's very dismissive.
Logistics, none of it.
He's a deeply dismissive man.
Anne Hesh is going to play our "We Won't Believe You" scientist.
John Corbett,
yeah,
playing Norman Calder.
Yeah,
of do you remember the acronym for where he's working? This is more of the train stuff.
No,
sensible transit only, please.
Sensible
stop.
Oh, love it.
But he's also got Beverly Hills Heights apartment building opening that week.
He's built the whole thing or something.
They chuck all this nonsense in at the start just so that we've got some reference point at the end.
So his partner is Dr. Calder.
Yeah.
And that will be important later.
Ish.
Ish.
Ish. ish, but they're all. It's so they can have a conversation about his building opening, even though it's still under construction. I think because it's obviously a really rundown building that they're gonna destroy at the end of the movie, and they need to sort of explain why it looks like crap.
Oh, okay, I just missed it, but
I think I don't know.
Who knows?
It's just otherwise, why are we talking about this
stuff in
an action movie?
No idea. So there's a quake. But it's nothing to worry about. And then there's a gas explosion, or is it steam? It looks good. It's very worrying. But Tommy Lee Jones, at this point, he knows something is... I think he's called Mike. I'm not going to call him Mike. He knows something is up for now. But later he won't be that bothered. Like, this is his point where he's like, I know something's wrong. And then he spends a lot of time saying, what is even going on?
We know he knows something up because we have several scenes of him looking at a manhole suspiciously.
Yeah. There's something down
there. And he's got a hell of a glare on him.
He does.
He's a maverick. He's a loose cannon.
You think he's a loose cannon?
I think he is, because as soon as he goes underground here, it's like no one's asked him to do that. Not the only person that does this during the movie.
Very, very, very bold and risky move.
Yeah.
So he's down the hole. He's like, fuck it, I'm going to get down there. Now, to me, he goes down there with a much less well-established character. So I was like, you're going to get cooked straight away. Mm. But no, he doesn't. They both emerge from that scared.
He should have gone down there with his wife.
Marianne!
Sweetheart!
I can't see, sweetheart. But the rats get cooked, so we know something is up.
Yeah. And then it means he can start doing the speeches from The Fugitive.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know when he got cast in this film, but it's very clear to me. Was it Gil Gerard was the name of the character? Anyway, he's got about 5 Fugitive speeches here where he's just barking orders, doing this, gas lines, refinery lines, hen house, dog house.
I want you to get this down this time.
Find me a geologist. And it's like,
yeah. I'm not from round here. That is a continual joke. Oh, my accent. I'm not from round here, but I talk straight kind of thing.
But I mean, the point is audiences love watching Tommy Lee Jones bark orders and give speeches like that. So yeah, writing more of them.
Yeah, I do. We'll ask Anne Hesh what's under MacArthur Park. She doesn't know. So she, once again, Tommy Lee Jones is the head of the Office of Emergency Management, but the writers have assumed that even we, the audience, don't know what an earthquake is.
Mm.
So she explains to the chief of OEM
what tectonic plates are
and what they do.
And what does he do, Vicky?
Well, he doesn't believe her.
No. And he laughs in her face.
Yeah, he does. Ha ha ha. An earthquake. We've just seen one. And then Rachel, there's the name of her co-worker. Mm. She's contractually not allowed to say volcano because we have to save that for some reason for another 25 years. But she does say, could be lava. And he's like, don't be ridiculous. He's like, what, tectonic plates? No. But that does feel a little unfair.
Yeah, it's just awful that our hero is laughing at these women and refusing to believe experts, which is something we've come to know and hate the last few years.
Quite
and
yeah.
It's not a very heroic trait. And I was struggling for him to come back from this scene.
But just with one apology at the end.
Laughing at clever women.
Laughing at the clever women. So these spunky girls, TM, they've just got to have a literal look, their literal selves down the hole, which is mad.
So effectively, he gets one of them killed.
He does.
Because they had no choice.
Rachel is tall.
But, you know, Amy's not doing well here. There feels like there should be safety precautions.
Yeah, she's like, let's just go down in the dead of night, basically, when there's no one around to help us or save us.
Again, I guess she's being a maverick, but she does get her friend killed.
Yes, she does. So OEM at this point kind of snaps into action. You get a lot of, I think the direction does what it has to, which is make an office look kinetic in some way.
Yeah.
So you do that through, there's a lot of fast cuts, very choppy, very busy, and you give lines to Don Cheadle, who's basically in utilities.
Right.
Any more quips or can we work this thing? Said no one ever at like Thames Water. But you've got to give those kind of lines, otherwise it does seem quite boring.
He wants his boss's job. He's there to bring a bit of life relief. And also, I guess the point is Tommy Lee Jones is on his own for lots of this film, and you've got to give him a partner to talk to. So it gives him almost a sidekick.
I think Don Cheadle is very good in this, actually.
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a mention later on.
Yeah, he might do. So the La Brea Tar Pits are bubbling away. Balls of hardened lava are raining down the street. streets are on fire and no one has yet said the word volcano.
I didn't clock this. This is good spot.
It's hilarious. And they will go to great lengths not to. So, you know, there's lots of reporters in this film, which is fine. It's an easy way to get your information across.
It really, we get a hell of a lot of commentary from them, but it's useful.
So one of them, the one in the car at this point, Mitch, the tar pits have expanded and fire is coming out of the ground. A huge, huge ball of fire, like a fireball, like a volcano, Mitch. Why is this so unbelievable? The voiceover from the newsreader is going, well, as LA wakes up this morning, it's something like a fireball. it's just a fucking volcano, man. I just can't believe it. None of it would matter if you, the audience, wasn't like, I know it's a volcano because you opened with it and it's called Volcano.
Oh, we live. Is this an alternate universe where there's never been a volcano?
Never happened.
Because if there is, they need to establish that early on.
I don't think you should be doing it at like the act one turn. It makes no sense. Anyway, at some point, someone will say volcano. I can't remember when. Some firefighters get it. That is brutal.
Yes.
But then the dog doesn't, and that just doesn't make me feel good about the firefighters getting it. Like, it just felt very sad.
Yes.
And scary.
No,
terrifying.
I agree. It's quite shocking the way the firefighters die, and the dog, like in Inferno, Dante's Peak. It feels like an afterthought.
Yeah.
We've just got to chuck this in here.
We don't really establish
the dog, so. Yeah. I think there's two dogs in this film, actually.
So now what we've got our enemy, which is the lava flow, the volcano, is on the loose. I mentioned this in the Dante's Peak episode. Anne Hesh has like come out of the hole where her friend was killed and sees the lava on the loose and goes, Rachel, you would have loved it. Would I have loved the thing that got me killed? I don't think I would, Amy, to be honest.
I feel a bit sorry for her in this film because she has, after Rachel dies, she has a 5-second scene where she's got to be angry and she's just on her own emoting anger.
Yes.
And then a 5-second scene where she's got to be sad and she has a 5-second, we see 5 seconds of her sort of losing it. And it's like she's going through the stages of grief to try and give her character depth. But it just, again, it just feels like it's an afterthought. It's just chucked in.
Oh, Amy, what do you want?
And then she's over it and she can...
Well, she gets relegated to fucking babysitter in about 10 minutes. That's so patronising.
Mm.
We get a Hieronymus Bosch joke that no one needs. And then Tommy Lee Jones and Anne Hesh dangle over the lava. Great. The police are racist, by the way. Oh, LA, how you continue to surprise.
Mm, Mark Furman gets referenced.
Yeah, so it's all there. Like,
big time. They set up the racial tension earlier in the film, but like that's very specific to this decade. He was, if you don't know Mark Furman, he was a racist cop who was part of the OJ trial. But I mean, obviously, we'll get to the racist stuff. It is madness.
I was quite into it by the end. Actually, we'll have a short break now.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What I want to talk about at length a little bit is the side mission, right, to rescue the metro passengers. Mm. So they're passed out because they're underground. There's toxic, you know, gas and shit. And that would make you pass out. So Stan. Now, Stan has been set up as a little bit of a Jobsworth.
Yep.
Probably not a natural hero. He's got a very well-developed storyline where he's trying to give up smoking.
Yeah. You know what? There's a scene earlier on where there's the, it's like the anti-smoking league.
Yeah.
And there's a huge sign in the background and then it's on fire. And I'm like, what's the message here?
It's quite early for that sort of activism.
It's the American Lung Association.
Yeah.
And they put, because he needs a fag. And then in the background, I don't know what the...
Speaking truth to power, man. Like back in the day, everyone smoked in 1997. So it's just, that's, you know.
So we're burning down the American Lung Association side. Are we saying smoking's good?
In the 90s, it was good. Yeah.
It was
And then it became bad.
We should say that Stan is played by John Carroll Lynch.
Yes.
Who's such a great actor. And I think his probably most infamous role is in Zodiac, where he is really frightening in that film.
Yeah.
And he's a good actor. He's just a great character actor. So, yeah, he goes on a journey in this film.
It's really good.
It's pretty good. And so, obviously, his big moment is rescuing the train driver.
Yeah.
Did you see what the train driver was reading before he gets on
the train? Yeah, how to sell a screenplay.
Yeah.
Oh, LA, what are you like? Everyone's trying to sell a screenplay.
But I thought it was funny because the most famous screenwriting book of recent years is Save the Cat.
Yeah.
And that Stan gets his Save the Cat moment by saving the guy who's reading, writing screenplays that sell.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you think that's on purpose?
No.
Yeah. Oh.
No, because I don't think Save the Cat was even written when this film got made.
But that's fun.
Yeah, it's fun because I'm thinking, oh, the screenwriters must have put that in.
Yeah.
And then I thought they were going to kill the train driver. I was like, oh, wow. So the screenwriters have killed an ambitious screenwriter.
Yeah, as you would.
But then they haven't, actually.
Yeah, no one likes competition. No. There's nothing worse than I was like, all right. It's like, I don't want to know. Don't tell me a single word more. Don't say
God, it's awful, isn't it? I don't tell anyone anymore.
So, yeah, the point being, we're rescuing passengers off the train carriage to safety, but the lava has flowed underneath the train. So by the time Stan comes to the back of the train, he's got the driver on his back. He can't make the jump. Mm. So he jumps anyway, lands on the lava. They did a lot of testing of like how quick would your shoes melt and things like that. And then he knows he can't do anything. He's in the lava now. He's dead. So he throws the driver to safety and the driver makes it across and Stan combusts. Mm. So here we are, a little fact check. You wouldn't sink in lava because it's much denser than water. So you just sort of be on the surface of it, like burning up. He doesn't really sink that. I mean, he seems to sort of melt. You might start a sort of a gas reaction where you'd be enveloped by like a bubbling gas. Mm. Or the other thing that doesn't, which is actually quite reassuring, it's not hot enough that you would burn up that quickly. Apparently, the average temperature of lava is about the same as a crematorium. Mm. And that takes a while to burn up a body. So that's reassuring.
Mm.
I think you'd be very unwell and you might never use your feet.
Because obviously in the crematorium, it might take a while to burn up a body. But if you got chucked in there, you would die relatively quickly.
You would die Yes, you would. Obviously.
So how long is Stan looking at?
I'm going to say, what if for real? Mm. Probably about 20 minutes.
What?
Yeah. Now let me just check you.
Wow.
Oh, no, it's 22 minutes, actually. So, yeah, it was really close.
Yeah, this is our final visit to Burning Up Corner.
Oh, how we knew you.
Combustible Corner.
We barely had time. God, write that down. Maybe there might be something there. So, Anhesh, super useful here because she tells the men, if you put water on a hot thing, it cools down. So that's super good. The lava now kind of sorts the tensions between police and the African-American communities that they are abandoning in order to rescue museums and Hieronymus Bosch paintings, presumably.
Yeah. So the racist white cop arrests a black man who's asking for help for his bit of town.
Yeah.
And then he gets unarrested with some help from a non-racist white cop.
Yeah.
And he turns his back on them and then leaves, but then he realises they need his help, so he turns back, and then you've got black and white working side by side.
Because of a volcano.
And the cop sends the fireman to the black community.
Eventually.
It's a hell of a journey.
It is. Although by the time he sent them, that guy's house is definitely gone by now, which is a bit late. And also, did I get this wrong? Doesn't one cop say to the other, you're a good guy for doing that? And it's like, don't know about that. Like, just doing your job and stop being racist.
I agree. He gets some credit
for
it.
Why does he get some credit? Nah. Well done. Yeah. Oh, okay. He did arrest. Oh, dear me.
Strange moment here as well. When they realise that the lava will turn, Tommy Lee Jones says it'll go in a horseshoe shape.
Yes.
And the people around him don't understand what that is.
He has to get a map out.
No, he says, no, all right, a cul-de-sac. And then they all understand it. Now, I think you would understand horseshoe before you understood cul-de-sac.
I would, yeah, you're right.
They did it in the wrong order.
It's such a weird moment. It's like a payoff that got edited out somewhere because he's like a horseshoe. They're like, what's a fucking horseshoe? What are you talking about? We need a cul-de-sac. And it's like they'd gone earlier.
What it should happen is he says it's like a cul-de-sac. Someone goes, what's a cul-de-sac? Goes, it's like a horseshoe. Goes, okay.
Oh, brilliant.
But yeah, anyway, I just thought it's in the wrong order.
It is in the wrong order. But anyway, we test the horseshoe. It totally works. We spray the floor with water. So we get to have Keith David saying, did we just beat this bastard? Which is excellent.
I mean, always good to see Keith David.
Always.
Love his face, love his voice, love his delivery.
Did we just beat this bastard?
Let's have a beer with Keith David.
You would. Yeah, you would. False end alert, though, because Anne Hesh, she just knows there's something bigger than Hiroshima down there. Okay. So the lava is back. It's going to erupt on your daughter.
Mm.
She's in her own babysitting storyline because that's what happens to all the women in this film.
But so first the doctor has to look after Tommy Jones' daughter.
Yeah.
And then the daughter starts looking after another kid.
Yeah,
and it's like, I don't care about any of this.
No.
And then I think we're building up to the finale, and he sends Amy,
who knows
more about this stuff than he does, to look for his daughter. Yeah. It's so disrespectful. It's so sexist. It's just unbelievable that you would do this to a person who is the hero of the film.
Although maybe Kelly, the daughter, is only babysitting Tommy, the little kid, so that you can have them play rock, paper, scissors so he can go, lava, what beats lava? And she can go, my dad. I love that. Yeah. That is so ridiculous. Yep. Love it. I've got this in the wrong order, but let's just do it. We'll wrap up Dr. Calder's storyline. Her evil boyfriend comes along at some point and says, these people are strangers to you, to which everyone screams, aren't all your patients strangers to you? That she's a doctor.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she does.
Yeah.
Of course they're strangers to her. If these were all their family, that would be really, really brutal.
What a handsome bastard he is. You're willing to die for strangers.
Yeah, I'm a qualified doctor, so
literally
I guess
doing
I am.
My job.
I'm doing my job, go away. So we assume that they're going to split up. So this is the point where Tommy Lee Jones briefly... He just doesn't know what to do.
No. Well, the film has to give him something to do, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Our hero has to do something heroic. In Dante's Peak, it's being trapped under a car for 2 days, which isn't the most dynamic thing for James Bond
literally
to be doing.
Literally kill you.
But here...
It's make a decision.
Yes.
Do we dig the trench? Do we flatten the Beverly Center? What do we do? It will flow this way. I don't know. What do we do? And then he's like, no, I do know. It's fine. But I was surprised because I was like, you do seem to have been promoted beyond your ability at OEM. It would make sense to me that you wouldn't have a fucking clue what to do in this situation.
But he delivered a speech. I'm talking, I've said that there's been many speeches in this film and it gets a cheer from everyone around him. So if you're a football manager,
You can do anything. You can do anything.
If you talk a good game.
Yeah, you can do city line management and logistics, definitely.
And so, so they decide to blow up the Beverly Hills Tower, which was established at the start of the film, and turn it into a dam of sorts.
Yes.
And so, again, Mike's got to do something heroic, so he runs and gets a drill. He just starts drilling the ground.
For no reason.
Randomly.
I mean, it needs doing, rather, but there are so many people around.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, it needs to be me.
Yeah, and it's almost like he's on his own doing it.
Like, no one asked him to. He's probably in the wrong bit.
Yeah.
I'll just leave him. He's fine. So, yeah, we're going to make
but
him
he's
a dam.
He's doing a man's job, which is drilling. Yeah. A woman's job is searching for my daughter.
That's right. But the bomb site, bloody Kelly's just wandered into
it.
Oh,
Kelly.
Kelly, come on.
What are you doing? Mike sees his daughter. Tommy Lee Jones sees his daughter. He bought the explosion. Is this the most irresponsible move in the film? If you bought the explosion, she's still going to die because the lava is heading that way.
Yeah. I don't know how she makes it out alive, to be honest.
Well, he runs to save her in slow motion and it looks incredibly fake. It's some of the worst stuff in the film.
That's one of the worst things I've seen on the podcast. Like, yeah. I don't want to be like that about this film.
No, I don't like it because obviously 1997, we've got different, you know, different technology.
But...
And yet, this is your big moment at the end.
Yeah. When did Independence Day come out? 95.
Before this,
So I think this is just running past a cardboard model of a building. It's ludicrous.
It's terrible. And he grabs her and moves her 10 feet as far as I can
and
see.
And now they're absolutely fine.
And the building collapses. And
luckily, she grabs little Tommy. She didn't have to. No. She's like, oh, I'll get him, you get me. And they are buried under rubble, bear in mind, from a multi-story building.
Yeah.
Fine. Not a problem, just covered in dust.
I mean, it takes a few seconds and everyone's looking for Mike, so he's got his hero emergence.
We hear a news report that, I love this line, the volcano is shutting down. I don't know what that means. Brilliant. And the volcano looks quite happy, doesn't it? Like chugging along through the storm. Just, I'll go this way now. Won't melt the storm drains or anything. I like that.
Wow. I think you really do believe the volcano is a character in this
film.
Yes,
I do. Oh, look.
You've given it a little voice.
A little path.
You've given it an inner monologue. Amazing.
Shall we go to the sea? It looks rubbish when it goes in the sea, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Racism is a distant memory. What was racism, you guys? Because everybody looks the same. Thanks, volcano.
Yeah, so a kid's looking for his dad or his parents and he sees the ash on everyone who survived, which is chilling because of 9/11.
Yes.
But he sees these people and he says, look at their faces. They all look the same. Because black and white are all shades of grey now.
Yeah.
And poor Keith David, an African-American man, has to keep a straight face... while a kid is saying, this volcano has ended.
And that's
racism.
All it took. That is all
it's
it took.
Done.
Yeah. We will never have any problems
just
again.
I can't believe this is in the film.
It's...
I'm getting a sense you like it.
Maybe
you're not black.
I think my lived experience is different and my privilege allows me to go, oh, that's funny.
Look at their faces. They all look the same.
Yep. In fairness,
they're not staying grey.
Script-wise... it's been set up.
It has.
I can't complain. Yeah, I mean, it's cloying and ridiculous and it is a little unfair.
Because 9/11 didn't solve racism when everyone was covered in ash.
It didn't, did it?
No.
We all didn't hold
hands. If anything,
and...
racism got worse.
Yeah, because of structural inequalities which aren't fixed by ash, P.S. And because of racism, which isn't fixed by ash. Anyway, that's it, the film. Oh, no, the film ends, but...
Oh, Amy says she could have been wrong.
I can't believe they made her say that.
No.
She was never wrong.
But
she
then
was...
someone, it gets pointed out that, we would have known 24 hours in advance.
Yeah, if we just listened to you.
So it's still his fault that we didn't know earlier and do something earlier, but he doesn't say sorry.
No. And I thought they were, because the pollster or the press for this film, there's a picture of Tommy Lee Jones with his arms around Anne Hesh's middle and they're stood in front of a big waterfall of lava.
Right.
So I was like, okay, obviously those are your two leads, romantic leads. And so I thought, we're obviously going to end on a kiss.
Yes.
And I really didn't want to.
No.
And I just was so grateful that they didn't.
No, it doesn't. And they would have made a very odd couple. So it isn't in there.
Yeah.
But you do worry because he's got the nagging wife as well early on.
Yeah.
But no, very good she didn't kiss him because he laughed in her face.
Yeah.
When she
belittled her constantly.
Doing her job.
Yeah, got her friend killed.
What a friggin' hero.
That's it. That's the end of the film.
Well, the chief wants to speak to Tommy Lee Jones about a mudslide in Malibu, but now he's going on vacation.
That's right.
He wants nothing of it.
So Malibu.
He's learned something, and it's to let people die. I quite like the ending with I Love LA by Randy Newman playing.
Well,
as
that's so you, though.
Mount Wiltshire is added to the database. Status active.
so we're
setting up a sequel.
So stupid. Right, let's do the bits. What's your best scene?
Well,
I'm an aspiring screenwriter. Yes. Aren't we all?
Yes.
And so I'm going for Stan saving the aspiring screenwriter. Yep.
It's my best scene. It's miles away the best scene.
Yes.
Just when they're tight and he says, "Whoa!"
Yeah.
And he throws it. There's no way that's going to make a bit of difference. Who, what normal human would attempt a leap of any distance with a man on their back? No one.
No, it's a beautiful thing and it's a genuinely dramatic moment.
Yes, and it's unexpected because he's been set up as a bit of a prick. Who or what is your most valuable whatever?
It's Don Cheadle. He steals the film.
Yeah.
He has got charisma to burn. Tommy Lee Jones is a great actor and he's fine, but Don Cheadle... I don't know. He brings some comic relief, and I feel like the movie lights up. It's a movie star, isn't
he
it?
He is a movie star. Yeah. Yes. Don't punch me in the face. Mine is the lava, or the tagline: "The cost is toast."
Okay. Okay.
But that's because I'll go next. My change is.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Give Don Cheadle the job. Don't just go on holiday. So at the end, he's like, "Don Cheadle, you're in charge." While I'm on holiday, just give him the job. He's better at it than you are. He wants it. Everybody likes him. He'll be really good for the town.
Yeah.
So just give him the job.
Yeah.
That's my change.
Volcanoes can't end racism.
No.
I've actually said this already now, so I've ruined it for myself. But Amy needs to be the hero of this film, not Mike.
Yeah.
She's right at the beginning of the movie and he laughs in her face. And from that moment on, I don't think he gets to be the big hero. And his hero moments are ridiculous at the end of the movie. So, yeah, I would switch them around. Never going to happen.
No. So that's it. It's time for the verdict.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Do you want to go first?
So, I did... Because we're doing twin movies this week, we've talked about the budgets. Do you want to know? I know it's not your favourite subject. The Rotten Tomatoes scores for these movies.
No, not really, but go, please.
Dante's Peak, 28%.
28%?
With the critics.
That's ridiculous.
38% with the audience.
Right.
Volcano, 49% with the critics.
Yeah.
32% with the audience.
That is quite interesting. Actually.
Not a huge amount of reviews, though. Only 30 and 47, so not a great... Anyway, I just thought, maybe interesting, maybe not. I am going for Volcano.
Right.
I think structurally, it might not be the superior film, but I found bits of Dante's Peak a little bit boring. Whereas Volcano... I found entertaining from start to finish, even the bits that were annoying me and making me want to throw stuff at the screen.
That's so true.
So, because of that, I am voting for Volcano.
So, I think we are actually in an Armageddon versus Deep Impact situation here, because Dante's Peak is better and it's more realistic and it's human-centred in a way that Volcano isn't. The effects are probably as good as the lava... But Volcano is based on a fucking mental premise and therefore it's really fun to watch. So given that we are on our way out the door, I will correct make amends for or whatever I did around Deep Impact and Armageddon. And I will vote for Volcano also.
So we have a winner.
Yes, an outright winner.
And that is our final winner of the final Clash of the Titles.
Yeah.
And that movie... It's Volcano. Oh,
brilliant.
Profuse apologies that it's not something better, but you kept asking for them.
Yeah.
So ultimately, it's your fault, listener. It's your fault we've ended.
People keep asking. They didn't, did they?
Yes. Yeah, we got lots of messages suggesting these two movies.
Okay.
All through the years. So hopefully it's made
That's all right.
A handful of people happy. So that just leaves time for me to do some very important thank yous. Thank you to Stack, our benevolent overlords, who we've loved working for and with.
Yeah.
Thanks to all the brilliant producers who have overseen the show. Katie, Blondine, Charlie, most recently the brilliant Nikki, and everyone else who has helped record and edit the show and taken out all the libelous stuff we've said over the years.
Yeah.
Including that priest joke that Alex did 4 years ago that I still think we should have included.
Release the tilly cut.
I still have it on my laptop somewhere.
Just one day, you never know.
Stick it on Twitter. It's not even that bad. It's not even libelous.
No.
Those priests did do that. And I'm going on the record to say it's stating a fact.
What was that going to be in? It was in...
The Arnold Schwarzenegger thing.
Oh, End of Days. Oh, my God.
See, I can't even remember what it's called. Idiot.
Thanks to all the guests who brought great insights and humour to the podcast.
Of course.
And vastly improved the episodes on which they appeared.
Yeah.
not especially, but including three-time guests.
Dave Berry.
I'll miss that annual tradition of...
I had to be excised from the annual tradition because there was too much talking. So I only did it the once.
We waited for you to go on holiday and did it each time because...
Yeah. We can't be in the same room together.
No, and there's only so much wine
oxygen
in the local pubs as well. Once the four of us get on those vinos. Oh, I'm going to miss those. Thanks to you, the listeners, for your constant and unwavering support and for all the lovely emails and comments and tweets and reviews and messages we've received throughout the years. It really has felt like a community, and we're only sorry that there won't be another Fanuary or Febufanny for all of you to put all of our choices to shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially sorry to people who sent them in this year.
Yeah.
Just apologies. And for me personally, I want to thank Alex and Vicky for being the best co-hosts a movie geek could ask for.
Oh, wow.
I really am gutted this is coming to an end, but as I always say of our show, it's not about the destination, but rather the journey, and you've made this the best journey ever. I'm going to stop there as I'm worried I might cry. But Vicky, have you got anything you want to add or say before we end?
Obviously, I just echo everything that you say a million times a million and a million. And thank you to everybody that listens to it. And obviously to you and Alex. And I just, like, I know I've said this before, but the people that listen to this show, the difference, I never thought I could do it. And I said this to Alex last week. Mm. I never thought in a million years I would ever do anything like this. And I didn't even want to do anything like this.
I remember. And you were super nervous before the first couple of episodes.
And everyone that listens had made me realise that I think we did have a good thing. And it's made a huge difference to how I think about myself and what I think I can do. And it came along at exactly the right time in my life as well. And I really needed it. And it's been incredible. So thank you to you and Alex and to every single person who is listening to me say this.
Well, you didn't need to doubt yourself. You were brilliant from day one. So I'm glad you figured that out as well. Should we just not end it?
Just keep talking. We'll get some beers in. Yeah.
All right, that's it. Clash is signing off for the very last time, meaning it's farewell from me and her and him.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.